Matthew chapter 6, if you would please. Thank you so much for being here this morning. What a joy it is to meet together in the house of the Lord. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God this morning, if you are physically able, we're going to read the first 8 verses of Matthew chapter 6. We've already gone through verses 9 through 13. Actually 9 through 15, technically. And you say, well, why are we going back to the first 8? Because we need to pick up some things. We've already talked about the elements of prayer. Now we want to talk about just kind of the attitude of prayer, or how we ought to go about praying. So this not, it doesn't have to do with the actual actions, but rather the motivations for prayer and how we go about prayer. As far as dealing with God and, if you will, dealing with our own hearts and our own minds, our own attitudes, our own motivations in prayer. So we'll read responsively here through these 8 verses. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I'll read the odd verses by myself. So I'll begin in verse 1 and you can join me in verse 2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Here we are in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to do just a little bit of a kind of an introduction this morning, and as we talk about this thing, and here's what Jesus is trying to accomplish. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, we see kind of where this all begins. In verse 1 it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And of course, we know that this is, if you will, the Sermon on the Mount, and, as it's titled. And he goes through and he's teaching them some things. And I want you to understand this has to do with the thought process, or, if you will, the philosophy of things that God wants us to have, as opposed to that which the world has and wants us to have. Does that make sense to you? So, please understand that especially in our day and time, things are not as they seem to be. Alright? There is a definite difference between how the world views things and thinks about things, and how God and His Word views things and thinks about things. Okay? I'll borrow another Bible term, a great gulf fixed. Okay? It really is. You have to understand that. For all intents and purposes, times haven't changed. It's been this way. If you look through the history of mankind, the devil has always orchestrated, stirred up, and tried to cultivate this alternate philosophy, this alternate way of doing things, thinking about things, right? Because he's in opposition to God. Okay, the world's in opposition to God. That's why the Bible can say with definity, I hope that's a word. If it's not, it's a good new word, okay? The Bible says that we cannot be lovers of the world and lovers of God. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. There is a difference. There is black and white. There is right and wrong. There is God and this world. The devil is trying to muddy the waters and create this gray area which doesn't exist. Okay? But he wants to make you think it exists. At camp last week, I told you just a little bit about what Brother Thompson talked about, this ish principle, right? Because God knows there's a this and there's a that. There's a right and a wrong. There's a black and a white. It's distinct to him. But in the physical nature, there's this gray area, right? And that's where we get drawn into. We get kind of enticed. We get sucked into that. And we end up on the wrong side of things. So, do you understand that Jesus understood this? Think about this, because we're going to talk about this today. Were the Pharisees God's people? Okay, by definition, yes. But were they really doing things the way God had said and intended for them to be done? No, they had kind of evolved. And I really hate to use that term, but they did. Okay? They changed things. And they kind of muddied the waters, if you will, and it wasn't purely what God had intended. Now, how many of you have heard the phrase or the saying that we want to not only follow the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, right? Not just the letter of the rules, but the spirit of the rules, okay? So here's what has happened to the Pharisees, to the children of Israel, to the people that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, preached to and taught to in his day. They had shed the spirit of things and only clung to the letter of things. All right, that's what they had done. It became mechanical. It became to where they were saying that basically the law was the savior, right? And that's not the case at all, right? What was the law for? Yeah. It was to point them to the Savior, right? It was to show them the Savior. The Bible says the law was a schoolmaster, right? And to show mankind that he needed a Savior. The law never could save. Never did, never will. So you understand that not only is Jesus doing this, but he's... So this is where we're connecting the dots now, if you'll stay with me. He's writing the philosophy. Okay, not like with the hand and the pen, but making it right. He's trying to correct the philosophy of these people. So he says things like, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. And he's trying to open up their minds to the reality of what God had intended, what God had set up in his organization and structure of the children of Israel. Okay? Because that, over time, had been lost. And now the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ruling religious group were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. So it was all appearance and no heart. No spirit, no underlying understanding of what God truly intended. Okay? So, that's what Jesus is correcting. So, as he goes on through here, we see different sections where he talks about the different ideas and philosophical teachings of Christianity, if you will. You'll notice there, as you go through Matthew, as I go through my Bible, there's a continuance here through chapter 5, through chapter 6, into chapter 7, as he concludes. And because at chapter 7, verse 28, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Okay? So we have three chapters of teachings. So I hope you're connecting the dots here. Included in this wrong philosophy, right? This writing of the philosophy, this changing of the philosophy, or this instruction of what the proper idea is, included in that is this thing of prayer. How the way they were praying, what they were going about in prayer, not just the structure of it, of the model prayer and the elements of prayer which we've covered, but the why, the heartbeat, the motivation, the thinking, the reasoning behind why even speak to God, right? Why even come to God, or those types of things, that's what we want to look at today. Now, he sets this up, of course, all through chapter 5, but then he kind of pours on a little bit here as he moves toward this particular topic, okay? He ramps it up, I guess is what I want to say, in his way of speech. So take a look as he gets into these different ideas in different areas. He begins with the alms. Now, how many of you know what doing alms is? All right, it's kind of the things that you do, if you will. Maybe it's giving, right? Giving of money or benevolence or doing good deeds. Okay, that's what alms is. All right, and so it's kind of part of our service, if you will, to God. What we do for God. So he says this. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Now, notice there's a comma there. Do you understand that Jesus says, Jesus is not saying, don't do things so that men can see you. Okay, so we shouldn't all be like ninjas and thieves, you know, that are trying to sneak behind the backgrounds to do good deeds. Y'all get that, right? Let me just put case in point to you. A lot of people think that these kinds of things are evil. You know, this is a faith promise commitment card. And they say, they use this verse as a ammunition. They say, well, the Bible says my left hand's not supposed to know what my right hand's doing, so I don't want my tithes and offerings recorded. Okay, that's not what he's saying at all. Alright? So, for instance, is it a problem for you to know that I personally like to help people? Is that a problem? That's not a problem, okay? Now, wherein lies the problem? That if I do it to make you think that I'm something special. Okay, that's where the problem lies, all right? That you say, well, what then is the problem? What if you do that and I don't want you to think that, but you think that of me? Is that a problem? No. I mean, if you think, hey, that's a great pastor. He's willing to give the coat off his back to anybody that comes by. Oh, wow, what a pastor. Now, is that a problem? No, it's not a problem. The problem is that if that's what I want from you, that's the problem. You all see what I'm saying? It's my motivation. So when I come to God, if I'm going to God in prayer for my benefit, right, or for my glory, or for me, that's the problem. That's not what prayer is about. That's not what prayer is for. Notice the sentiment that Jesus records. He says this, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them." That's the key. You know, do you know why? Oh, I set it down. See, I shouldn't clean up my Bible. I should just let it be the filing cabinet that it is. All right. When we have a list of prayer, and I tell you that I pray for these things, and I want you to pray for these things, it's not to be seen of men. It's to motivate you to pray for them. Because I want to be a good example of the believers. That's what I'm supposed to be, right? And so the thing is, I don't want you to think, oh, that pastor, he is spiritual. He prays for people. Oh, what a lovely man. Okay? Whether you think that or not, I don't really care. And I mean that. Because in my life, for me, I've decided a long time ago that I don't matter. And God does. And I want to point people to Jesus Christ, and I want to lead people to Jesus Christ. That's my motivation. Do you know that I don't stand up here and pray on Wednesday nights and out loud to be seen of you? That's why we need to learn about prayer. We need to learn about doing our service to God. Not to be seen of them. He says, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, he says, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay, by the way, what kind of reward are they looking for? An earthly one. They want to enjoy the rewards of their alms. They want to enjoy the rewards of their prayers now. The Bible says that we're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. Do I get to enjoy those now? Not necessarily. I get to enjoy the hope of them now, right? Knowing that the Bible says that I'm, if you will, laying up those treasures in heaven. But again, that's not my motivation. Why do we lay up treasure in heaven anyways? For us? No, that's right, Rachel, for God. And it's for Him that we may cast those crowns at His feet. And she's exactly right. And that's amazing. That's how we ought to think about things. By the way, I've mentioned to you before that prayer is not for us. But it is for us, but it's not for us. Do you understand the quandary that creates, right? But you may think it's confusing, but it's really not confusing. Prayer is for Him, for us. Right? For Him. And it's kind of perpetual. It kind of goes back and forth. But when we get it right, we understand it. So, what was wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He uses them as an open example here in these eight verses. When we get down to verse 5, He says, and when thou prayest, comma, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So he says, not only in your service, in the things that you do for God, whether it's giving of money, whether it's giving of time, whether it's serving God, he says, or whether it's in the idea and the act of prayer, don't be as the hypocrites are. Now, let's define what a hypocrite is. All right? A hypocrite is someone who is not what they're pretending to be, right? Basically, that's what it is, right? Or someone who does one thing or says one thing and then does or says another thing, right? That's a hypocrite. So, let me ask you a question. When we're born to the family of God, what kind of person does God want and expect us to be? His kind of person, right? That's what we're supposed to be, right? I can't tell you how many times, and parents and grandparents, please let me know if you were this way, like my parents were this way, and like I am this way as a father. My parents were very clear to let me understand that my family was a certain kind of person. They said, son, you're a Combs. We do these things, and we don't do those things. That's who we are. Any of you grew up in a family like that? Or your family is like that? Hey, that's how it should be. Can I tell you something? God's over here as our Heavenly Father saying, now, son, you're a child of me. You're a child of God. There are things that we do, and there are things that we don't do. There are things that we are, and there are things that we're not. And this is how I want you to live. Let me ask you, if we live that way, are we a hypocrite? No. When do we become a hypocrite? When we are something, but then we live something else. So, these hypocrites, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these religious rulers and leaders that gave Jesus all kinds of trouble throughout his earthly life and ministry, they were supposed to be the children of God. They were supposed to be followers of God. They were supposed to be lovers of God, knowers of God's word. They were supposed to, and they, what did they do? They rejected it. They rejected Christ. They rejected the ways of God. How many times did Jesus say to them, you're hypocrites? Right? Let's take our Bibles and turn to a passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 23. So in this area of prayer, I hope you've understood that the idea here is to not be a hypocrite in prayer. So how do we accomplish that? Well, we need to understand what it's saying. As you're turning there to Matthew 23, listen to what it says in Luke 20. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. So by the way, he's looking at his disciples, the 12 he called out, but he's saying it loud enough for all the people to hear. Okay, so it's kind of like talking to Ben here. Ben, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to say it loud enough that everybody else can hear. Okay, so he's talking to the disciples, and he says this, and he says, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, in the highest seats of the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Yeah. Okay? So, do you understand the heart of our Lord in this matter? Okay? So now let's look at Matthew 23, verse 1. Look at verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. So is this a secret meeting? No, this is very much out in the open. And by the way, once we get to the end of this, you'll understand why they hated him so. Because he exposed them for who they were. Now, this is a very detailed passage of scripture. Here's what he said. Look at verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to, you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So again, what is that the definition of? A hypocrite. Okay? A hypocrite. He says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. I love this. They make broad their phylacteries. How'd you know? How many of you knew that word was in the Bible? Okay. Great word. and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Okay, so what picture is Christ painting here? One of pride, selfishness, etc. Now, let me ask you a question here. Because we're talking about this phrase in our theme of this year for our church, in everything by prayer, right? We've talked about that. Do you suppose that we, as God's children, saved, born again, born of God, favored of God, loved of God, following God, blessed of God, right, through prayer, are we supposed to pray for our daily bread? Yes. Are we supposed to expect that God will give it to us? Yes. Are we supposed to know that God's going to bless us and to keep us and to strengthen us and to empower us and to help us to bear fruit? I mean, should we really become as a shining light and a bright star in this world? Absolutely. Should God's favor be upon us? And if you will, should we be of some means and some favor, if you will, even so that people can recognize what God is doing in our lives? Do you see where this can all turn south very quickly? Because what do we begin to think over time? That we're something. That all this is because of me. When by prayer, who is it actually because of? Because of Him. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose these Pharisees all started out this way? Maybe some did, but I don't think so. So what's the warning to us? When ye pray, be not as the hypocrites are. So we need a warning. We've been learning all year, six months of the year, pretty much. One more Sunday to go in June, right? And we ought to be getting good at prayer, folks. We ought to be. We ought to be learning about prayer, and we ought to be better prayers, and we ought to be seeing more results from God, and we ought to be closer to the Lord in our relationship. But He says, be not as the hypocrites. Beware, lest this thing goes to your head. So He goes on here in Matthew 23. He says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. There are some religions that need to read that verse again. We were teasing. Well, not really teasing. I was making fun of someone. These pastors that allow themselves to be called reverend. God is reverend, folks, not a man. I'm just a pastor. One that God has called. Yes, I'm going to take my place as God wants me to, but I need to understand my place. That I'm serving Christ just like you're serving Christ. So, He says, But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever, in verse 12, who shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then I don't have time today, because that's a whole other message. But beginning in verse 13, we see the woes to the Pharisees. And this is, this is a great message. I may preach this at one time. But He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Here's a couple of our exclamation points. 300 and some exclamation points, Brother Losey, I think you said, in the Bible. Here's several of them. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. 16, and then down and later on in verse 23 and then 25. He says it again. And you understand that this is not a good place to be. A Pharisee, a scribe, a hypocrite. Now, as we come before God, we need to be like is told of the people. As Solomon built this temple and sacrificed unto God and got the people back to worshiping God, if you will, God speaks to Solomon and says to them, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. All throughout Scripture we see example of people choosing to come before God with the right mentality, the right motivation, the right way of thinking. One example is Josiah, being 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years, and he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Later on in that chapter, this is 2 Chronicles 34, the Bible records this as the prophetess was talking about what God thought about Josiah, what God thought about Israel, what God thought about the children of Judah. It says this in verse 26, as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Now listen to this. This is what Jesus is saying. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, I got to get back over there, is telling us, when thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So keep that in mind, Jesus' words, and listen to the example of Josiah, the king of Judah, an 8-year-old boy who rediscovered what it was to hear from God, to serve God, to seek after God. This is what God says about Josiah. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. So as Josiah heard from the word of God, and remember, the Hilkiah was the high priest at that time, and they found the book. And they brought the book in, and Josiah, when he had the book read to him, he rent his clothes and he fell on his face before God. His heart was tender. He was not high-minded and heady and haughty before God, but rather came to God with the right spirit, the right attitude. And folks, as long as we keep that in mind, as we come before God and God blesses us, We come before God and God answers our prayers. And we come before God and God makes us fruitful. And we come before God and God forgives us of our sin. And we forgive others of their sin against us. And we have this favor in the eyes of people. And God is magnified in our lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ is magnified in our lives. And we are definitely a stout and sturdy and effective lighthouse, shining a beacon in this community. And then people begin to notice, and they say, wow, look at that lighthouse, and look at that Christian, and they have favor with God, and it doesn't get to our heads. And pretty soon we stand before God, and we become as a Pharisee, saying, you see, that's what we have to keep in mind. That's why Jesus prefaces his teaching on the model prayer and says to the Christian, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. As we understand our place, where we ought to be reminded of the woes to the Pharisees. We have to be reminded of the examples in Scripture. By the way, Josiah was a very good king. But why did his kingdom and his tenure end only after 31 years of reigning, 39 years of life? By the way, 39 is not that old. What happened to Josiah? His heart got lifted up. Oh, remember, his heart was tender. It was right, but in his old age, at 38, 37, 36 years old, what happened? He stopped heeding the warning. He stopped taking heed to this. And can I tell you, Christian, as God, as your relationship grows closer to God and your prayer becomes more sincere and closer to God, and God begins to answer things in your life, God begins to do things in your life, we've got to take heed that we continue in the humility, that we remember who it is that's giving us these blessings, who it is that's doing these works in our lives. It's not us, it's Him. And the Pharisees lost that. The children of Israel lost that. They forgot it. They were not continuing to take heed to these things. In closing, Solomon had some words of wisdom to say about this subject. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You understand that God wants us to remain humble, to remain the servant, not to seek after the praise of men and the glory of men, because that belongs to God, not to the servant. That belongs to the Father, not to the child. That belongs to the King, not to us. As we consider Jesus' words, we need to be not as the hypocrites are. In our service to God, the giving of our alms, and in the lifting up of our prayers. Does that mean we can't pray publicly? No. That means that we can't pray publicly for the reward of men.